the overarching thought of today's show would be this. We're about to experience something in the United States of America that might be unprecedented as Donald Trump's presidency was. This one might be every bit as unprecedented in a completely different way, of course. Let me see if I can't explain to you. The godfather of talk radio, Rush Limbaugh, I always said that his show was always about right and left, right and left, right and left. Conservative, always good. Liberal, always bad. That's just the way it was. It was engraved in stone. It's the way he lived his life. It's the way he preached. I tend to disagree with that because there's a lot of conservatism that I like, but there are some ideas that are in there that I don't care for and I don't think work. And then, you know, most of liberalism I don't care for, but there's one or two things in there that I do believe work and that I do like. So, you know, to make any sort of absolute statement that all of this is good and all of that is bad is sort of wrong, in my opinion. That was immediately followed up by shows that started talking about how, well, you know, other shows are about right versus left, but we're going to be about right versus wrong. I'm sure they thought they were being clever when right versus wrong, that's the big thing. Which sounds good and looks good on paper, but here's a question for you. Who's right? And who's wrong? That is to say, whose version of right and whose version of wrong? Because, you know, to some people, storming the Capitol on the 6th was the only way that they could get the attention of the authorities and express their displeasure, and they thought it was the right thing to do. And by the way, if we were going to have riots all summer with Antifa storming federal buildings in Portland, then we should, by God, be able to do the same thing here, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Others looked at it and said, no, storming a building is storming a building. It's wrong, and it's not achieving anything, and it's a bad idea, and that's wrong. So here you're the exact same situation with two different schools of thought on the subject. So it's easy to say, this show is about right and wrong, right versus wrong. Yeah, but who's making the decision about what's right and what's wrong? A lot of it is in the eye of the beholder. It was around about that time that I decided that the best way to define this show. There's a cool thing in Hollywood. I wish I could remember what it's called. It's a slug line, you know, basically a pitch line. If you're trying
elevator
to sell.
Pitch.
Well, an elevator pitch, yes, but that's actually longer than what I'm talking about here. A pitch line is one sentence that sums up your idea that gets people's attention, okay? And it's kind of a good exercise in radio. For you to say, what exactly is it your show is about? Well, we're about good time, rock and roll, dope, smoking humor. Okay, good. You have an idea of what it is you're about. Good for you. I'll put it to you this way. When they were selling speed to the studio, not selling the drug speed, they were selling the movie speed, Sandra Bullock, Keanu Reeves, right? You know what they said? Die Hard on a bus. And everyone sat up and took notice and went, oh, that sounds like a good idea. Yeah, and the bus is moving. Oh, I like it even more now. Die Hard on a moving bus. That's tough to beat. That's kind of a common one, you know, taking another idea and shoveling it into and sticking your idea in on top of it. How about Monk? When they were selling the television show Monk, they said, a private detective who's OCD. Huh. Well, that could be interesting. I'd kind of like, you know, basically it's that one pitch, that one sentence that makes you want to hear more about it. So this is mine. It may not be as flashy as those I just gave you, but this show is about ideas that work versus ideas that don't work. That's really what it comes down to. Ideas that work versus ideas that don't work. Now, that sounds kind of nuts and bolts and popular mechanics-y, and I'm sorry about that. But that's really what we try to make this show about. And we're at a crossroads in history now that is pretty unique. It's interesting, and I don't think we've ever been through anything like this, or we've never been at a time like this before. And I'll explain what I mean as I go forward here. Now, ideas that work. Here's something that we know. If you slash regulation, you cut taxes, you let people keep more of their money, and you allow them the opportunity to do things with that money, your economy will grow. We know that. How do we know that? Because we saw it happen. John F. Kennedy did it, okay? Ronald Reagan did it, and Donald Trump just did it. George W. Bush did it to a smaller degree in 2001, before the terrorist attack. It really helps get the economy back up again after 9/11. But that was to a smaller degree compared to what Reagan did, compared to what Trump did, and compared to what JFK did. We know that it works because we've watched it happen before. Ideas that don't work. Jacking up the capital gains tax. Jacking up the capital gains tax, increasing it from 15% to 30% or whatever you want to do, 10% to 25%, which is something that happened under Barack Obama. It happened under Bill Clinton. It's a bad idea. It's an idea that doesn't work. Here's why. It's based upon the premise that only rich people are getting capital gains. All those guys with stocks and bonds and stuff, and, you know, then they take this money out that they made for not doing anything. They didn't actually lift a finger to make that money. Well, they did take a lot of risk. Yeah, but they didn't do anything. So the government should come in and take one-third of that away from them. When they sell those stocks and they get that money, we should take that money away from them. We should take a third of it. That sounds attractive, doesn't it? But here's what happens. Knowing that the capital gains tax is high, nobody moves their money. They let it sit there. As long as it stays in stocks, if they just move it from one to another, they sell and buy again, whatever it may be. They're able to leave their money in the market, never actually take it out, and so the government gets no tax dollars out of that. Oh, they still have the money, don't get me wrong. The people who are holding the stocks still have the worth. But they wait until somebody comes along and lowers the capital gains tax before they sell it and take that money out, which means the government now gets one. Instead of getting 30% of something or 15% of something or 10% of something, the government now gets 100% of nothing because nobody's moving any money. It's an idea that doesn't work. We've seen it happen twice. We saw it happen under Bill Clinton. We saw it happen under Barack Obama. In both cases, revenues to the Treasury dropped. Okay? Those are both very boring explanations of what I'm talking about in terms of ideas that work versus ideas that don't. Wanted to get them out of the way to give you an example of what I'm talking about. Now, we have just been through 4 years of ideas that work. We have watched Donald Trump. He has done battle with the press, and yes, he tweeted mean things. But this was a guy who reduced regulation, reduced corporate tax rates, and repatriated a lot of money. This was a guy who said, I'm sorry, every expert I talk to has told me the same thing. This green energy stuff just isn't efficient enough to go mainstream yet. So we're going to still rely on fossil fuels. And by the way, let's make it easier to get that crap out of the ground. Let's make it easier through fracking. Let's go ahead. Why aren't we drilling in the Anwar again? All right, because nobody wanted to look bad. I don't care. Drill in the Anwar. That's where the oil is. Go ahead and get it. Let's get some of that shale oil out. Let's build that Keystone pipeline. Let's move forward with these things. When the green energy is ready for prime time, we'll be ready to get on it. But in the meantime, it doesn't exist. And consequently, the price of gas, you know, hovered around $1.79 a gallon through most of his presidency. Now, we have just entered into the realm of a presidency with ideas that don't work. Case in point. We just saw it in Texas. We saw how bad green energy does when you rely 40% on green energy and your wind turbines freeze up and your solar panels are covered with snow so they can't collect anything. And you end up having to boil water because the water treatment facilities don't have power to make them actually work. Now, that's not the Biden administration that was responsible for that, but the Biden administration really loves green energy, and we've just seen how it can fail. This is one way it can fail. There are several others, but we've just seen one example of how it can fail. Okay? So, the Biden administration also has an immigration policy that I think if you polled most of America and asked specifically about the things the Biden administration wants to do, a majority, and not a small majority, of Americans would say, oh, no, that what? No, we're not. That's a bad idea. Because he didn't really tell you those ideas when he was running. I think people weren't voting so much for Joe Biden as they were voting against Donald Trump. Did Joe Biden get a lot of votes? Yes. Did he get 80 million? No, I don't believe that for a second. But, people did vote for him because they were voting against Donald Trump. There's going to be a whole bunch of people that are going to watch now, and this is what I mean by an unprecedented crossroads. There's going to be a whole bunch of people that are going to watch ideas that don't work in real time get implemented, and you will see them fail in real time. You will see green energy fail in real time. You will watch an immigration policy fail in real time. You will see a stimulus bill for COVID fail in real time. Well, don't worry. I mean, it'll work to a degree that it gets passed and that money gets into people's hands. But then when people begin to find out about the rest of the pork that's in the thing, they're going to be horrified. And then when they look at the the deficit at the end of this year, they're going to go, oh, my God, we borrowed how much money this year to run the country? Holy crap. And people are going to be horrified. Keeping schools closed is an idea that doesn't work. We're watching it collapse in real time. America is furious about it. And there's going to be a whole bunch of people, even those who voted for Biden because, you know, orange man bad. There's going to be a whole bunch of people who are going to watch this happen in real time and wake up and smell the coffee. I know, oh, they're too stupid, Richard. They'll never get it. No, they will. You're already starting to see people who cast their vote for Biden saying, how is gas $2.40? It was $1.79 like a month ago. Now it's $2.40. Literally, it went up 60 cents in a month. How did that happen? That's crazy. Well, his energy policies are bad. And that's going to lead to higher prices at the pump. That's just how it works. You're going to watch it happen in real time because this is a very radicalized Democratic Party. This is a very radicalized left that is interested in things like forgiving student debt. Not all of it, but some of it. And that's another idea that just doesn't fly with America. That's very concerned about global warming and global climate change, which is an idea that doesn't fly with America. And doesn't think that property crimes are actually crimes, which is an idea that doesn't fly with America. Watch and see. It's going to be a fascinating 4 years as we see these ideas get shoved through. Well, I should say 2 years, because it's entirely possible within 2 years that there's going to be an overthrow of the House and the Senate. Biden will still be there unless Kamala takes over. It's going to be a real interesting period of time as we watch these ideas that don't work get run up the flagpole and fail miserably. I can't wait. I mean, look, it's not that I wanted Biden to win, but now that he has... Let's sit back and revel in it, shall we? 12:15, got to take a break. We'll hurry back and get this show up and lumbering under its own weight with the big stupid question of the day. Don't go away.